On the heels of last week, you know, God has just been so good to us and to me, especially this week as I've been reflecting on the resurrection. I can't tell you how thrilled I've been all week thinking about that event that happened some 2,000 years ago and the implications of that event in my own personal life. I've been going about day after day saying, He is risen. He is risen. Jesus is alive. For some people, it's kind of like Christian mythology, and it's been 2,000 years ago, and there's kind of, well, yeah, that's, I believe it, but, you know, it's not real for me. And it's been so real for me all week, the reality of the resurrection. And let me tell you how it's been real. God has strengthened me in my conviction that He has the power to back up what He says, and that in my own life, I can give. I can give in areas I'd never thought possible because of what He says in His Word, because I have confidence, a renewed confidence now, that I can trust Him, that He's faithful. God's plan, His book, is wrapped up in one word, and that word is the word give. The word give. John says in this third chapter of his gospel that God so loved the world that He gave. He exhibited His love by giving. Jesus on the cross gave. In my mind, I'm picturing Jesus before He became Jesus on earth, before He took on flesh. He says, I say nothing or I do nothing on my own initiative. It means nothing starts with Him in the sense that He just steps out on His own initiative and speaks and does things. He says, I only do and I only say that which I hear from the Father and I see the Father doing. And I can picture the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, in total, complete submission to His Father. In total, perfect relationship with His Father. Desiring to do nothing else except that which His Father says. And I can see the Father saying to Jesus, now the analogy I know is a little weak, but I have no other way to get this point across. I can see the Father saying to the Son, give, give, and it shall be given. And then I look at Jesus' life throughout the Gospels and I see it's a life of giving. At every point, Jesus continues to reach out. He continues to give. He reflects God's perfect nature through the act of giving. He reflects God's perfect love through giving. Selflessly. The writer to the Hebrews says that for the joy set before Him, He disregarded the shame of the cross. But for the joy set before Him, He went through it. Why? Because He was confident. He knew His Father's words were true. He longed to do nothing else except that which the Father wanted Him to do. Give, and it shall be given to you. That's powerful. That encouraged my heart. I could picture Jesus on the cross saying, well, Father, this is it. It's all done. I've given it all. Now I'm entrusting my spirit into Your hands. He gave His life. And life was given to Him 3 days later. And life abundant. Life abundant. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged to step out in new areas and learn to give where I've been afraid to, where I've been reluctant to for one reason or another, where I've been selfish. God has encouraged my heart to step out and do it first because I love Him. First because I love Him. And secondly, because I know that His Word is trustworthy, that I can rely on Him, and that He will move in my life, that He will take care of me. He will meet my needs. He's promised to. Jesus says in the 6th chapter of Luke, the 38th verse, give. It's a command to us. It's in the imperative mood in the Greek text, the mood of command. Did Jesus have to be commanded? No. No, because of the relationship, the intimacy in that relationship with the Father, Jesus longed to do that which the Father said. Longed to do it. He didn't need to be commanded. But I need to be commanded. Because I don't do by nature what God wants. My nature is to do the opposite of what God wants. My nature is to be selfish, not selfless. My nature is to hold things to myself, not to give away freely and be gracious. That's my nature. And so I need to be commanded to give. He says, give, and it will be given to you. He says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the rest. Doesn't Jesus say in Matthew, in the sixth chapter of Matthew, the 33rd verse, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of? It's just another way of saying the same thing. And both of these statements are made in the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's recording the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew records it over in his gospel. The word give. It's a personal word. When Jesus says to give, He says it to all of us. And He says it to us personally. Give. Give what? Give everything. Give of everything. Not selectively. Give of everything. We need to be people who are learning to be giving people, gracious people. That's our lifestyle. That when people think of us, they think, oh yeah, that person's really gracious. And they equate that with being a Christian. Unfortunately, that's not always the case, is it? Unfortunately, many people equate being a Christian with other stuff that's not quite so exciting. Not quite so rewarding, not quite so warming as giving. And I include myself in that. We need to be giving people. God says, give. All of you. And give of everything in your life. When should I give? Well, it's in the present tense, so the idea is that you would give continuously. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when people are nice to you. This is a tall order, isn't it? To be giving people. It's a personal word to us that God calls us to be these kinds of people. And you notice that there's no conditional clause, no if you give. It's a command. It's a shame that we need to be commanded. Well, wouldn't it be marvelous if God would just utter His words, and we would just, oh Lord, certainly, be glad to, no problem. And we just do His word. We do what He says to do. It's a practical word. Practical in the sense that we see the reality of His nature, His giving nature, reflected in all of creation. I mean, the sun continues to give. The moon gives, the stars give, they give off their light, they give off energy continuously. We see reflected in the arena of plants and flowers, the flowers give off their aroma continuously. They're always giving. The fruit trees are always giving fruit. Well, my fruit trees are not giving fruit. I'm going to have to yank them out or do something, feed them, I don't know. They're stingy. But you see, all of God's creation freely gives. It's reflective of His nature. The only aspect of God's creation that's out of order that doesn't freely give is, guess what? Us. And we're the crowning jewel in His creation. Made in His image. The last aspect to be created. And we're holding out. In the context of all the rest of creation that reflects His glory by giving. Giving, giving, giving. Whatever that aspect of creation has, it gives. And it gives freely, uncomplainingly. When we're giving, that's when we're most like God. When we're giving freely, joyfully. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. In the Greek, the word means hilarious. Hysterical. Can you imagine husbands and wives hysterically giving to each other? I don't see that very often. What kind of response when one spouse begins to give love and give graciousness and give kindness and all those lovely things in the relationship hysterically to the other person? How can you give hysterically? Because you know how God's going to bless this. Can you imagine what would happen? These two people would just begin to give hysterically, joyfully. They can't contain themselves. Not for what they're going to get out of it, but because they know that it brings joy to their Father in heaven. They know they've had the curtain pulled back a little bit and they see into this other person's life, that this person is just as afraid, just as weak, just as human, and just as in need of being given encouragement and love and grace. And when you see the curtain pulled back and you want to give, oh, there's no greater joy than being able to go in and meet that need. You're almost hysterical over it. You crack it, you lay awake at night and giggle, you just laugh so hard. You say, oh God, I can hardly wait till the morning to start giving again. Giving. We're most like God. Jesus says it gives your Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Great pleasure. We're most like God when we are people who are giving. And we can give when we really begin to trust God, when we really believe Him. You see, then giving and the moving in that arena doesn't become threatening to us anymore. We're moved by whole new motives now. Whole new understandings. He says, give. And the command to give is accompanied by a promise. And it shall be given to you. And it's not going to be given to you just a little bit. He says it's going to be given to you pressed down in the images of someone in the marketplace getting a bag or their skirt filled up with grain. Pressed down, make room for it. Shaken together, running over. That's the image. God says, I'm going to bless you out of your socks. It's a personal word. It's a practical word. So where should I start giving? I mean, all these areas in my life, where should I start? Start at the point of greatest need. What's the point of greatest need in your life right now? I need encouragement. No one seems to encourage me. I never get a word of encouragement. Well, start giving it. Look around. Become an encourager. Go up to people. Say, how are you? You look great. Good to see you. God loves you. I love you. Sit down with them. Let them talk to you. Give them eye contact. Show me care about them. And you know what? You start giving out encouragement, and all of a sudden, one of these days, encouragement is going to start flooding into your life. Just flooding into your life. No one loves you. No one knows you're alive. I'm just a nobody. I come here, no one pays attention to me. No one loves me. You want to be loved? Go love somebody. Go pay attention to somebody. Go reach out to somebody. And then watch God pour into your lap love. Watch Him do it. So we have that confidence that He's faithful to do what He says He'll do. Why? Because He raised Jesus from the dead. He said He'd do it, and He did it. You can believe every single word He says. I had that confidence. We're most like God when we're giving. It's a possible word. This is important. Because, you know, we understand the concept of giving, we think about it, and in the back of some of our minds we're saying, oh yeah, but you don't know the situation I'm in. You don't know this word. I've given. Oh yeah? You sure it was giving or was it trading? So most of us don't really know the difference, and when we really think we're giving, what we're really doing is trading. How do I know that? Well, because when the other person doesn't give back, I say, well, if you're not going to give, I'm not going to give either. We were never given in the first place. We were always trading. It's a possible word. It is possible to give. How do I know that? Because I see over and over in Scripture, when God gives a command, when He says to do something, He also enables you to do it if you believe Him. Why don't you turn with me to the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. We're going to see an example of God enabling something that He's commanded. The 11th chapter, John's Gospel, the 43rd verse. The setting is Jesus arrives 4 days after Lazarus has died. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus is deliberately late. You see? Because He wants Lazarus stone cold dead. As a testimony to His power. And in the 43rd verse, we see Jesus has already told some of the disciples to roll the stone back from the mouth of the tomb. Verse 43 says, when He had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Now He commands Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And Lazarus said, I can't. In a whimpering voice, I can't. Don't you see? I have 75 pounds of aloe wrapped around me with all this linen, and I can't move my feet. I'm stuck together. I'm dead. I can't come out.
God says, give.
I can't.
Does Lazarus come out of the tomb?
Shoot, I guess.
Yeah, you believe standing there? You see this guy come shuffling out of there. He's all wrapped up. I'm coming. I'm coming.
See, what Jesus commands, he gives the enablement to do. If we would believe. He commands us to be a giving people. And too many times we let our circumstances or our emotional status dictate and say, I can't give. We whimper and we whine and we moan, I can't. Rather than being obedient, say, Lord, all right. Praise your Lord. I know that what You command, You enable. You can bring to pass. See, we need to have a perspective that when God moves and He calls on us, He's allowing us to participate with Him in everything He's doing. That's an incredible privilege. And we need to believe that what He says, He will enable. It's possible to give. Whatever circumstance you're in, whatever situation you're in, whatever relationship you're in, whatever the thing is in your life, that God says, give. Do it. Believe. He says, if you have faith that big, the size of a mustard seed, you'd be amazed at what you can do if you just believe. Because once we step out in faith, He brings His resources to bear on our puny situation. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured into your lap. Do I dare believe that? What's the point of need in your life? Where are you frustrated? Start giving at that point, and giving by faith. It's a profitable word. Profitable. You say, should we give to get? Yes! But only to give again. We don't give to get to lavish on ourselves. We give to get to 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 give some more. Jesus says if you're faithful with a little, you can be trusted with much. If you can give away a little bit of love, you get some more back. And the more you get back, the more you have to give away. And the more you give away, the more you get back. And the more you get back, the more you have to give away. Works just like that. It's a principle. Not only is there a command in that verse, but there's a promise attached to it, and then he goes on further to explain that by a principle. He says in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to us, he says, if you sow sparingly, you are going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. That's a principle. You ever done that? Have you sowed crabbiness bountifully? Have you? What have you gotten back bountifully? Crabbiness. Sure. Sure. You say, well, you know, I've tried this giving jazz, you know, and it hasn't worked. Oh, really? Have you persevered? Yes. Really? Don't forget, Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Sometimes you got to be cold stone by faith. You just got to keep on waiting for God for His timing. And He'll raise you up. He'll cause it to come to pass. He's faithful to His word. You can rest in that. It's not always going to happen in our timing. But He's faithful to His word. He's faithful to His word. What about money? This is always a good topic to talk about. And most of us struggle with money. Not all, but most. And you read through the Bible, you see over and over and over, God seems to talk about economic issues. He talks to us about our money and what we do with it. He says to the Israelites in the last chapter of the Old Testament, He said, you're robbing me. We're robbing you. How are we robbing you? He says in tithes and offerings. What God was saying to them was that they were rebellious and stiff-necked and hard-hearted people, cold-hearted people. They were rebelling against the Lord. And they said, well, we want to return to you. How can we return to you? He says, do you really want to return? They said, yes, Lord. How shall we know that we've returned? He says, you return to me with tithes and offerings. See, God knows that when He has our money, He has our hearts. Where our treasure is, that's where we find our heart also. And for lots of people today, in the church especially, their hearts are where their bank book is. There's always, you know, the jokes and the laughter and the frustrations when the pastor's going to talk about money. Oh, bummer, man. Wow. What does that betray? What does that show us about what's inside of us? Oh, praise God, the pastor's going to talk to us about money. Hallelujah. We need to be reminded again. See, there's one brother. But you see, what's our attitude? Do we get a little deeper in the seat? Dig our heels in a little harder? Like what, going, huh. Why didn't he say something uplifting and encouraging? We're trying to. See, we have to have hearts that are receptive, minds that are open. Why does God talk so much about money? If you don't believe me, read the Bible. You see it all over the place in the Bible. All over the place. It's because He knows. He knows. And He wants us to know that we hold on to it. We hold on to it. We trust in it. That sometimes money becomes our God. We put more trust in it than we do in Him because we don't let go of it. We're not willing to give. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Not part of it. The whole tithe. He says, and there are offerings also that you can make. And then he says, and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that there's no more need. Do you know, interestingly, that passage of Scripture in Malachi, the third chapter, is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. Test me. Test me. See if I won't do this. He's standing right there. He says, I dare you. I had a guy come up to me one time, a couple years ago, and he said, we just done some tithing messages, and he said, you know, he says, I've heard this before. He said, I want you to know I've been tithing, and I've been faithful at it every week. I said, great, praise God. He wasn't smiling, though. And he says, I've been faithful, and I've been tithing every week, and I want you to know that I haven't had my income quadrupled. I think we had some testimonies, people that had their incomes quadrupled. He says, I haven't had envelopes show up in my mailbox with money in them. One guy opened his freezer. This is the truth. One guy opened his freezer and found $500 in an envelope in his freezer. Cold cash. Really? Really? He was in need in his life. He was given out of his life. He was given out of his substance. He was hurting financially. He opened his freezer and there was $500 in the freezer in an envelope. This guy says, I haven't opened my freezer and found $500. I've been faithful. What's the deal here? So I threw a quick prayer up. I said, Lord, help me now. Give me wisdom. See, I know God's word is true. I know we can depend on God's word. So there must be something wrong over here on this side, not with God's side. So I said to him, well, look, let me ask you a question here. I said, are you working now? He said, yeah. I said, you have a good job? He says, yeah, I have a very good job. You getting paid good money? Yeah. Now, this was at a time when people were losing their jobs right and left. You know, layoffs here and there and every place. So I said, you got a job? He said, yeah. And I said, let me ask you another question. Are there people around you where you work? Are they losing their jobs? He thought for a minute. He says, well, you know, that's right. Yeah, there are some people that just in my department who've been laid off. In fact, one guy just this week. I said, but you have your job. Yeah, I have my job. Any prospect of you being laid off? He says, no, I don't think so. He said, I'm in a very, very key position. But there are other people who have been laid off. Yeah. You still have your job? Okay. Yeah. I said, I'll tell you what. Will you keep tithing? Yeah, I'll keep tithing. I said, I'll answer your question. You come back to me as soon as you get laid off. You come back, and then I'll answer your question, and I'll tell you exactly what's going on. He left. I didn't see him for another year. I mean, to talk with him. I'd seen him in church, but I hadn't seen him to actually talk with him. We talked about no other issue except this one issue. Nearly a year later, he comes back to me, and I see him making a beeline straight for me. And immediately my mind flashes, uh-oh. Uh-oh. God help. But I said, no, Lord, I know your word is faithful. It's true. I can rely on you. Guy comes up to me, and before he said a word, I said, did you lose your job? He said, no. That issue settled. I said, what's going on? I've been meaning to come and talk to you for a long time, and I want to share with you some things that God's been doing. He said, remember our discussion a year ago? I said, yeah, I think vaguely. He said, well, you know, he said, I've gotten a couple of promotions in this past year and things that were just out of the blue. He said, my income has nearly tripled. He said, I got to thinking about our discussion about a year ago. I remember how frustrated I was and the kind of distrustful attitude I exhibited. I just wanted to come and let you know that God is faithful to his word. I said, praise God. One of the guys we baptized last Sunday night, new Christian. He's been taking God's word seriously and doing what the Bible says to do. And he wrestled for a little while over this issue of tithing. And he said, well, you know, he says, Lord, if you said to do it, I'm going to start giving you a tenth of my income off the top. I'm just going to do it. Because it's what's supposed to be done. Everybody does it, right?
And he said, you know what? He said, my job at work, the pressures on me have decreased dramatically. And not only that, he says, my income has tripled. He said, I have to attribute that to God working in my life. Wow, that's dynamite. The Bible says that we need to be a giving people. Start at your point of need. And then let that attitude of giving permeate your life to every aspect of your life. That we become known as a gracious people, giving, not a selfish people, but a people who love the Lord, a people who love to do the things that the Lord says to do. He says, I'll take care of your life. Trust me. Didn't I raise Jesus from the dead? My word is true. This is not just some empty philosophy. This is the truth. Jesus told old Nicodemus, he said, Nick, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You can depend on what I say. Wow. I love God. I love God. I want to do everything He says to do. That's what really makes sense anymore. Nothing else. Be a giving people. Be a people who are reaching out to others, giving away your faith, giving away your love, giving away kindness. A compassionate people. Be a people who are obedient to give in terms of your tithes and offerings, to give financially. Not so much because the Lord's going to bless you. That's already a given. But because you want to honor God. Because you love Him so much, you say, God, I just want to show you how much I love you. I want to show how much I appreciate what you've done for me. I was thinking about, you know, Jesus says, don't store up your treasure here on earth, but store it up in heaven. And I've always thought about that and thought in terms of when you store it up in heaven, then when you get to heaven, you have this big, massive treasure. But I've gotten a little different perspective on it. There may be some truth to that. I'm not sure exactly, but I've gotten some more perspective. It's really exciting. Instead of storing it all up here, to store it up in heaven, so that when I need it here, God gives it back to me with heavenly interest. He says, when it's stored up there, see, inflation isn't going to eat it up. You're not taking a risk. You're not taking chances. You're not storing it in the stock market where every day you've got to go, oh, is the stock market up or down today? You're storing it up in heaven. You're investing it into God's kingdom, into His care, into His trust. And when you need it, when there's need in your life, it's there. It shows up. And with interest, abundantly. The same thing with love. Same thing with kindness. The same thing with encouragement. All of these things that we want in our life that are real and true, satisfying to us. God says, store up these things in heaven. Give them away because I'm going to take them and I'm going to bring them back with interest and pour them into your life when there's need. He's a good God. He's a good God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you are so faithful to your word.